Buenos días a todos. ¿Me puede...
Very good morning to all of you. Can you hear me?
Gracias.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. I'm going to give my presentation I prepared together with Siva, who is not here in Brussels, but who is listening to us. So at the end of my presentation, any questions you have to me or to Siva will be answered by either of us. Our work is identified with the problems related to the issues handled within this session, especially the lack of a real communication, and how can we solve these problems. And we, together with the help of all the regional leaders and the community, reached the conclusion that ICANN is not known by the community of users, although you know that all the computers are linked to ICANN. We all have an IP number that's managed by ICANN, and therefore we think that it would be necessary to carry out this work. We have an estimated
participation.
Okay.
This is a test. Can remote people hear us? Please, someone answer on Skype.
Alan.
Okay, let's keep on going, Sylvia. Thank you.
I need to start again? Or? Okay. Okay. Entonces, ¿cómo estaba diciendo?
So, as I was saying, we have an estimated 192 million domain names registered at ICANN, and we know that it will be increased very shortly, that every year user is connected, every internet user is linked to ICANN, but ICANN is relatively unknown. And his field is known. I work in IGF, but elsewhere the majority of users don't know what ICANN is doing or if they can participate in ICANN. So the idea is to consider doing something in order to solve the outreach problems. And we even think that even when documents are translated, people have difficulties in order to understand some things. Matthias? So we think that users need to know ICANN as the authority of names and domain names in order to know who they have to refer to when they have problems, and in order to enlarge the basis, because we know that the increase of ICANN participation within ICANN has increased at a global level. Next.
Y creemos también a nivel de política.
We also believe that in terms of policy, we need to be more transparent and more open to create confidence in all the world in terms of internet. And we also believe ICANN has the responsibility to become known. That's the reason why we studied the possibility of doing an outreach program to get to all users in a global, at a global level, and it's something who must be done in a different way. Up to now it was done in a particular way, in a regional level, and we think it must be something organized by an advertisement company in a professional way, so not to be limited, because we believe we must be quick enough for this outreach and for the global knowledge of ICANN. At large, structures have an awareness of regional issues and final users, and we can help. But what we try to do is not an outreach program at large, but of all the parties and all the structures who conform ICANN. We got in contact with two international ad companies as a way to give a serious presentation. One of these agencies was Ogilvy in India, and another one was Young and Rubicon in Brazil. The Indian one answered back with a campaign, with some campaigns they have already done for other kind of organizations, as a matter of example. And Barbara, of course, could have a look. These campaigns were very successful. Our possible target would be final internet users. The initial focus would be website owners, bloggers, journalists, and consumer groups. And those groups, we think the owners of domain names, internet user organizations whose business operations considerably depend on their internet presence, such as banks, for instance, and consumer and, of course, civil society. In terms of the means we could use for this outreach campaign, we think in advertisement in magazines and newspapers. We also think we could do TV commercials. About the online strategy, we were thinking about social networks as Facebook, Twitter, which are very used today. Also,
presentation.
Okay. Y todo lo que la agencia...
And everything these companies could suggest. About the size and the budget, we didn't want to talk about a specific budget, but the agency mentioned that they would propose the price once we specified how we will work. What we consider is that the campaign may have a minimum period of 3 years in order to have an interesting result. We proposed several questions. The agencies also asked several questions. And due to the short time I have, I won't enumerate all the questions, but all the questions they made had a positive answer. So we really think the outreach program we are thinking about really matches with the situation, the ICANN situation, and results would be positive. All documentation by the agency in India is in this presentation, and it's available for all of you, also for Barbara, of course. This is what I wanted to let you know. We want to clarify that it's not a campaign, advertisement campaign, but it's to make ICANN known to everybody, the whole organization. We detected the necessity and we implement this so that we have an answer and we have results, because as was mentioned this morning, we really need a good communication inside for these people who already know ICANN, but also in the outside world. That's it. Do you have any questions?
Then I thank you.
Okay.
And do we have Carol here? My neck doesn't turn around that much.
It's really a tag team with Emma.
That's okay.
As well.
Would you like me to move away?
You want us to move?
Emma, do you want to sit here? Where are you going to plug in?
Can I just plug in somewhere so you don't run out? I'm not going to use my light. We're just using yours, right?
Yes. Could you put me in? Put me in here.
Are you ready to start?
Okay, so I would need to log into the Adobe Connect session.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want me to log into the Connect session now? Okay. And what's the address? Do you want to type it in?
Right,
I can just do the first minute. Sure, yeah, should I just get started?
You can start with the first.
How do I just talk, or do I need
sure,
that?
Yeah,
do I have to push the button?
No, just leave it.
Okay.
You need to speak into the mic, please.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Carol Cornell, and we're going to give you a brief introduction on Confluence Wiki.
We have people abroad. You need to keep your mic closer to your mic.
Thank you. The initial description and the reason why we would like to switch from Social Text Wiki to Confluence Wiki, we gave a session out. I thought I would give a brief reminder as to what those components are, and then we would go straight into training. Emma Rush is here from Adaptivist, and she's going to give us the basic steps so you could go through and log into the community wiki and try it, and then you'll be able to go in and log in, and we'll talk a little bit more about what the future of that wiki space could look like. In the spirit of trying to continue to accomplish ICANN's core values, I went and quoted one of the values, remaining accountable to the internet community through mechanisms that enhance ICANN's effectiveness. And as part of that, we periodically go through and look at the tools we're using and come up with ones that we think would improve our current process. ICANN wants to replace the social text, as I said, with Confluence Wiki. Let me go through and give you a few reasons why that's a good idea. There's four in particular that I highlighted. One is it supports the community better through a similar tool to what you're using today. It's a stronger search, it has the capability to use rich text, and you can actually create online templates, which you can all use for standardization and easy ability to find and search. A second is more user-friendly. A third would be stronger security permission needs so that you can segregate a section if you want. You can also make it widely visible to everyone. A lot of the key benefit of this, though, is you can also, it costs less than we currently are spending for social text, which means we have a better tool for less money. And then lastly, it requires less IT personnel, and it gives you the capability to go in and do it yourself and add in documents and have that as a benefit. Some of the key WOW components that I thought I would highlight are it has strong version control to eliminate loss of data, problems, and multiple user, and edits the same page. In the past, we have not had that capability. In fact, you can go in today, if there were two of you on the wiki site at the same time, it would give you the ability to save both edits that you're working on a document. So there's a great benefit to that. It also keeps track of every single version, so you are able to move forward with that. It allows you to organize your space a little differently than maybe you have. Now we're going to have a tab, and we'll show you an actual placement on the external community wiki is what we're going to call it going forward and allow that access, which we'll give you today. One of the benefits that I think a lot of times people have talked a little bit about, and I think it's worth noting, is the very strong search capability of this particular wiki, which allows you to find any document you attach, and it treats everyone. In the past, if you attach a document, it couldn't search for that everything in the document. This allows you to have that capability, and it's a fairly straightforward way. You can also tag a document, so you can tag it by year or by subject matter, and it allows you to go back and find those much quicker going forward. So it should be a lot easier for you and anyone, any public person, to be able to go find that information much more easily. The last, I think it's really important to know, is that at-large community members will be able to create their own wiki pages to communicate. So you can have your own personal space there as well as the group space, which will allow you to move forward and do that. So I've only kind of highlighted a few of the reasons why I thought it was important to do that quick reminder. I also like you to know that it isn't something we're going to switch over like tomorrow. We're going to phase it in. It's about a six-month process we're going to allow. And so we're going to start with the introduction, the training part. We will then talk a little bit about migrating the data. And then lastly, we'll have it where you can still have access to both wikis, but one will be read-only, and it'll just stay there as a reminder with a link to the new one. And then we will eventually, after 3 months of keeping them both up and running, but one read-only, we will then shut that down. So it'll be a nice long transition, and you should be easily and make it a smooth way for everyone to be able to keep their data viable and use it all the way through. I'd like to, unless there's any specific questions about why we want to switch over, then I'm going to get right into training because I know we're watching the clock and time today. Is there any particular questions?
James. I have two questions. One is, well, I understand there will be two, the social text and conference will be running at the same time. will you help us to migrate our existing social text over, or do we have to do it ourselves?
You will not have to do it yourself. We're going to take all the pages that are currently on Social Text Wiki. We will put them into a holding bin, and then we will move it all over over a very short period of time. We will do that work for you. You don't have to do it.
Then the other thing is, perhaps you'll cover in the training. I couldn't find a way to change my password. You can answer that later.
Right now, I would tell you, everyone, that the way we put it in is we gave everyone the same password for the demonstration today. We will go back and give everybody individual passwords. This was to make it easy for everyone to see them and have access.
Adam, sorry.
Will you be... One of the problems I have with social text is that there's a mess of pages that seem unindexed and... links to nowhere and all kinds of things. Will you be trying to clean up those things as you go forward, or will we? Because one of the things with transferring all pages over is that you're transferring over the history of an unindexed mess, really.
We will talk, and one of the phases is when we are migrating, we'll be talking about what you want to archive and not have available, and what you could just leave as a historical piece but not have access. And we will do that. We will, of course, need some guidance on which documents and those types of things. And that's one of the things you'll have to work together with us to know. But the answer is, yes, we can certainly continue to clean it up, and this gives us that capability because you can sort them and keep them stored in certain files so that you could be able to find them and or need them when you knew, but also use the most current ones.
Two short remarks and one question. First remark is when you talk about the cost, when you are a project, you have to take into account the training of the end user, and I'm not sure that it was taken into account as a big, big cost that we will have to face. My second question is that I know that English, it's taking the name of the company as a verb, but I don't know why you told us that we need to Google to make a search. And my third question is that I have my own logging. I hope that I can access and use it today without using the common one for the purpose of the today demonstration. Thank you.
Shall I try to answer a few of yours if I could? The first is from a cost perspective. We recognize we do need to continue to train, but we wanted to make the tool much more user-friendly. And if we this is an easier tool to use. So you would be able to have many more people use the tool more effectively than we have, and we think that outweighs an extra time for training, and we're willing to spend that extra time doing that training. The second question, I didn't write them down. So
it was not a question, it was a remark. I don't want to Google, I want to make a search, sorry.
Okay.
Okay. Do you have a question?
Yes. A username and a password have been sent to me, but they don't work.
On it. I went back to our IT department, so we are working on it right away. As soon as we hear, we'll give it back to you. I think, Heidi, you let him have access for now, so you can learn as well. Okay.
One question.
Sorry about the kerfuffle. I won't regret the departure of St. ICANN, though I've invested a lot of personal time in trying to get it to work. So I'm quite open to this reform. My main point is that to encourage you to test any new system on low bandwidth. A lot of us are working on less than 1 megabit a second, and if you get sold on things that only work between 4 and 10 megabits a second, you're going to lose a lot of your audience
starting with the east coast of Spain, but I imagine a great deal of the rest of the world. So please tell your consultants and your suppliers to test everything at low bandwidth.
We'll make a point to do further testing and make sure that's more workable.
Excuse me, I have to add one more thing. There are still parts of the world where low bandwidth means dial-up.
Thank you. I'm going to turn it over to Emma, and she's going to walk you through the basic training at this time.
Okay, hi, I'm Emma Rush, and as Carol said, I work for a company called Adaptivist, and we deal mainly with, we only deal with Confluence and products made by a company called Atlassian. We're kind of an ICANN in real microcosm, in that we work in a distributed way. We have people around the globe, so we have a guy that works in Sydney, and a guy that works on the west coast of the US, and so on. And we're mostly based in the UK. But we use this software to communicate and to share content between each other and work on projects, and we find it very effective. So it's great for me to come and talk to people and show them how to use this, this facility, a way to share and work and collaborate and hopefully help you achieve your aims within the organisation in terms of dealing with content and sharing that content. So if I just move ahead to the next one. So yes, I think this is the Google thing that was being referred to earlier. Yes, so just search it. This is just for post-training. As I say, I work for a different company, so I'm here for just the training. But if it comes to the point where you need extra information, if you search, for example, for Confluence and search, then you'll be taken to the Atlassian Confluence Wiki, which has all of the content and information on how to use Confluence. There are lots of video explanations of how to use things, so I've just added those links to this page, and there's also links on the page which is a transcript of the training session and includes all of the information and extra information, and I'll show you later where you can find those two documents. Also, other places you can find content are on the Atlassian blogs, so that's a blog where they often tell you different ways and useful ways that you can share your content with other people. And there are also forums, so if you ever find you have a particular issue, you can go to the forum and you'll find that somebody will be there who's had a similar problem or a similar issue, and they're extremely helpful and will give you an answer, usually very quickly. I'm sure you're all aware how to use Google and also forums, but those are just to help you out, to give you a quick link to find those places. So I'll just move to the next. Okay, so Confluence is a wiki, and many of you will have used social text, and you'll know what a wiki is, I'm sure. Do you know what a wiki is? Yeah? It's just a place that allows you to edit and add content very easily. And I think that's one of the main, the best bits of Confluence, what we've found particularly in my company that we use and why we believe in Confluence, is it's very easy to use. And lots of companies throughout the world, government organisations, it's really popular. And the reason why it's popular, I believe, is its ease of use. Not only that, but it's very versatile. It can be used for a variety of different purposes. And where I've seen it's been used for all of these things, like often it's used for knowledge management and exchange, which is what you'll be using it for a lot, for sharing documents. It's also used as a form of communication, a way of taking the strain off of email, because you can share content inside a page rather than firing off an email with an attached document, which leads to all manner of version tracking problems. It's also, we use it in our wiki for documentation as well as an intranet, so it's a versatile product. So I'm not trying to do a sales pitch here for you. I'm just telling you why it's a good thing to use. It's also very cost-effective. It's much cheaper than a lot of different wikis, but it also has all of the features and facilities that other wikis have. And where you see there's a feature that you really want, that you maybe you had in social text but doesn't appear in Confluence, there will be things that Confluence has that social text doesn't. There are many, and equally, there may be something that you've seen in social text that's very useful. There are a number of things that you can extend Confluence, so you can extend this wiki. It's kind of like an iPhone where you can get different applications, and there's vendors that make these applications that you can put inside Confluence. So that's what I mean by the extendability, and it's easy to use. So it's a bit small, that, but the wiki way to edit a page, really simple. It's just a big edit button. And if you have edit facility to a page, you can go into that page, select edit, and off you go. You can also add a page very easily by going to a particular area. And these areas are known as spaces, and then you can go add a page. So edit and add, very easy, just add page. And within Confluence, the way that the content is structured so that you can organise your content is it's separated into spaces. So within Confluence, there are two types of space. There are two types of space. There's a global space, and there's a personal space. So everybody here has the facility to have a personal space. And you can put whatever inside your personal space. But in the global space, those are spaces that are organized across departmental lines or organizational lines or logical structures. So you'll have projects as spaces. You'll have departments that are spaces. And inside those spaces, you have pages. So you put your content into pages, and you can add attachments to the pages. You can add images to the pages and content, such as links and images. And you can also add comments to the pages. Sorry. Did you have a question?
Yes, I did. I dare to have a question. There's one point that is missing for me. Is Confluence based on open source?
It is.
It is?
Yes.
Okay, interesting. Good to know. Thanks a lot.
And that's one reason why there are so many applications available for it, because it's very easy to make these applications, these plugins, because of the availability of the source code. Yes?
Well, just a question. If it's open source, why do you have to pay for it?
Oh, there are some bits, some areas are open source and some are not. So, it's not fully open source, no, but there are bits that are, so there, it's easy to extend it because of the availability of the code, but it's extendable, but you still have, obviously you have to pay for the software itself. There are some things that are proprietary that belong to.
So the kernel itself is not open source.
Sorry?
The kernel of the product is not open source. It's how you connect to the kernel is open source.
I don't actually know, because what I'm concerned with is showing you how to use it at a basic level rather than creating the plugins. But I can potentially, it's better if we focus on those sorts of questions in the 45 minutes that we have following this session. Hi.
I'll have to clarify this because I've been a Confluence user for years.
Sorry?
I've been a Confluence user for years,
excellent.
Right, and implementations. Confluence is open source. It follows the payment model of open source, that you can sell software, number one thing. Number two thing, they have many libraries in there, software libraries, which they've developed on their own. And these are Confluence is available through licenses. But ICANN has the benefit of being a non-profit. So Confluence Atlassian, the company, has a commitment that if you're a registered non-profit organization, they will give you an enterprise license for free. So ICANN has Confluence for free. They don't pay for it, right? So this is how they're giving out the open source more or less free. They're all nonprofits, open source projects, universities, public universities, and certain projects which are around the philosophy of free software and open source. Confluence comes to you free. They have an application process. You send an application, they evaluate it, and then they allow you to download the full version, the full license. They basically give you two keys. You put them in, you can deploy it. So I had this running on the International Free and Open Source Software Foundation platform.
Okay. Can I just ask what time I need to finish so that I get some idea of...
I think it's 12:30.
Right.
For this session, and then we can...
Okay. So just to get back to how to use Confluence. Confluence is made up of spaces. Inside your spaces, you have your content, and it's just a way of storing it in a logical and easy way to find way. And then inside these spaces, you have pages. With the pages, you can attach attachments, attach documents, attach anything, actually, to them. And you can also add comments. As well as pages, there are blog posts. The difference between the two, blog post is news. Page is just your standard content, standard information. And blog posts are organized along datelines rather than structured in a hierarchical way, which I'm just moving on to now. So within Confluence, spaces, as I say, are created along logical or departmental lines. So here you have two example spaces. This is in my imaginary wiki. I've got a finance and an HR department, and they have spaces so they can organise their content in there. And they'd put that content into a page-by-page basis. So, for example, in HR, you'd have a page for employee benefits, a page where all the information about employee reviews would go, and the page where the interview procedures would go. Now, the benefit of doing this, rather than having like a storage facility with a bunch of documents that you can download, is... you can add all of your Word documents, for example, for the employee benefits page, add your Word documents either as attachments or even better, if you can copy and paste, get away from using Word so that it's easy for you to find that content. In fact, if you add Word documents or PDFs to each individual page, you can search and all of that content becomes searchable. So I go to the wiki, I want to find about employee benefits, I do a search and then all of that content comes up. I also can read all of the comments added to that page. Potentially one of the questions that's often asked to the HR department relating to employee benefits would be answered in those comments, saving everybody a bit of time. So pages are structured in a hierarchical way. So you have a parent page. Each space has a home page. And all of the other pages are then child pages of the home page. So the home page is the parent page. Then you have child pages. And those child pages, just as in the standard family structure, those children can become parents themselves when they've reached a certain level of maturity. But they can become, so your child parent, your child page can have a child of its own, which can have another child, and you structure your content in that way. And so when you set up a space and you're considering how you're putting that content in there, do put some thought and have a little meeting and decide how you're going to structure that content so that you don't come up to the problem where you have all of this random content and it's difficult to find. So... And that's the that bit of the presentation. Now I want to take over you over to the actual wiki, if you just bear with me one moment. So if I go to... Okay. Yeah. My computer's wrong. And that's not particularly visible. I'll tell you what. I'm just trying to increase the resolution so you can see it better.
Oh, much better.
Okay. Okay, so this is the ICANN wiki. In particular, this is what you can see here is the community section of that. So I want to know if you're able to access this wiki and the address. You should have already received the address that you need to access the wiki from. It's community.icann.org. And when you log in, so if I log in, I'm currently logging in as Carol. So if I log out and log back in again. So my username, because I'm pretending to be Carol, is the first part of your email address. So if you could now try and log into this page. So it's community.icann.org. Your username is first name dot last name, or the beginning of your email. And the password is mango chutney, which is, it's capital M, A-N-G-O, capital C, chutney, and exclamation point, or exclamation mark, if you're British. And you should have received an email from Naveed telling you that information. Once you have those, the username and password input, you can log in. Have you been able to log in?
I put the password into the Skype chat.
So I think if you could help, if anyone's having problems, then I'll carry on, because otherwise we won't get anything covered. Okay. Okay. It would be your email address, which is it adam.peak?
No, it's
AJP. And then. Okay. So while, if you have a problem, if you can give us, let us know, and then Carol will be able to help you, and I will carry on because we've only got 15 minutes. Right, so. One of the aims of this was to be able to show you how to create a page and add some content to it. Once you log into the wiki, there are certain key areas of the wiki. Once you log in, the first key area is the dashboard. So the dashboard is a landing point for the wiki. And here you can see certain things like all of the spaces within the wiki. You could see all of the spaces if I select this All tab here. And then if I've made any pages a favourite, you'll see the favourite pages here. And I'll show you how to make a favourite page, hopefully, if we get time. And you've got a tag cloud, which this is just the most popular used tag that's applied to a page or a blog post. So your dashboard is a sort of key area of Confluence. There's also the search. And this is how I often find content in Confluence. It's very good at picking up all of the content that you've added there. So all of the content from Word documents, all of the content from PDFs will be searchable from right here. And it gives you, so if I type in test, you can see that it brings up suggested terms. So this is very useful for finding information in Confluence. If you also just want to go to a specific, to find more information about, to make a more specific search, then go to the search page. I'm just moving quite quickly here to try and get everything in 15 minutes. So search dashboard, key areas of Confluence. There's also the people directory, which you can access from up here. So every person who's a member of this wiki, probably a member of ICANN, has a profile, details about themselves. You can also have a personal space. That's the personal space, global space I was telling you about. But you won't have a personal space until you've created one. So if I select the people directory, you'll see this key area of Confluence allows you to find people within the organization. It's just taking a little while to load. So there you go. You can search for everybody. You can search for individual people, and you can find people who have these personal spaces that I was telling you about. And there's also kind of numbers at the bottom when you get more than a certain number of users that you can search through. So people directory and dashboard and search, they're all key areas of Confluence that allow you to find people, and you can also connect these people with content, and it helps you to find content as well via the search. So if I just go back to other key areas of Confluence, the way that the content is organized within your wiki, you can see you've got spaces. So we've got the at-large wiki demo, and we've got the at-large wiki training area. And in the at-large wiki training area, you will be able to experiment. You have edit and add and so on rights here. So key areas of Confluence, your search, your dashboard, people directory. But you also have the facility to add content and move it around using these menus. And these are kind of constant throughout Confluence. You've got the edit option. You can add a page to this space or a blog post, or you can add a comment to the page or an attachment to the page from the add menu. Tools give you options for the page to do certain things with the page. Browse allows you to browse through things within the space. And you have your personal menu here, which takes you back to, importantly, pages that you've watched or drafts. So if I just tell you a quick bit of information about drafts. If I choose to edit this page, so this is how you edit a page. You just select the edit icon. And if I start making changes to this page, eventually you'll see a little notification come up saying that a draft was saved at blah, blah, blah. So if, for example, for some reason I neglect to hit save, the computer breaks, it all falls apart, and I move away from the browser, I forget, I go and make a cup of tea, come back, and I forget that I'm working on this page, and I close the browser down, and I'm like, oh, I've lost all of my content, but I haven't. You can just see here, draft save at this time. If you want to see those drafts, so I've neglected to save the page, and I want to go and find that content. If I go to my username menu and then go to drafts, yes, then it will show you the drafts. So these are the drafts, and I can go back and start resume editing. So this is very useful. You'll find that you're often working on a page and you forget to hit save, but all of those changes will be within the drafts area. So if I just go back to the page I was working on. So you can see within these spaces, you can see that there are some pages right on the left-hand side here. So every time you create a page, it will be added. You can navigate to it from the left-hand side of the space where you added that page to. So, you can add a page very easily by going to add page. And now, because I'm adding a page from this point, this page will be added as a child of the home page. So if I go add and page, you can also do this at the same time. So you can have a go, a bit of a hands-on experience of creating content. So if you could navigate to the at-large wiki training area and then go to add and then go to page. And then here, give it a title. When you're adding a title to the page, be aware that you can't add things like backslashes, ampersands, question marks, so on. It'll warn you, so it won't allow you to save it with those characters. But that's just a little bit of information for you for adding page titles. And then you can add content, text. And then you can format the text using these items at the top here. So it's very much like a kind of very, very cut down version of Word. And I'm sure Social Text is quite similar in its rich text editing facilities. So you could, for example, select that text and then make it bold. Select the text and make it a different colour. And then just hit save.
Could we at this stop at this time and find, is everybody following along okay?
Fred, I lost you when you started talking about the password. The screen is illegible, and I can't find out how to go to full screen on the screen on here. Even the screen, the computer screen is illegible.
Okay. Anyone else have any questions? I wanted to make sure everybody can stay up with us, otherwise it'll be confusing. He's not logged in. I'll come help him.
If anyone else has any login issues or so, can you please let Carol know and she can come and help you while I'm talking? Because we've only got 2 more minutes. And, yeah?
We are going to allow a little bit of the break for lunch.
Okay. Excellent. That'd be great.
To do a little
right. Great. So maybe now's a good time to stop and just to make sure that everybody, if we have to stop at 12:30, is that right, Heidi?
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. And you see, we are real end users.
So if anyone, while we're just waiting with the, we've got sort of 6 minutes, do you have a question that I can take?
And no users.
Okay, if we create a page here and we're logged in,
yes.
Do we have to do something special so that everybody can see it, or is it always available?
What happens is that within these spaces, some people have access to a space and some people don't. So all of the at-large people will have access to your at-large space. So whenever you create a page, everyone will be able to see it. You can change that. You can change it so that people can't see your page too. But when you create one to begin with, unless you make some changes, everybody will be able to see it. Okay. Was there another question? Evan.
Hi there. I have 2 questions, one about revision control and one about moderation in terms of workflow. Could you give me an idea what the process is if there are changes and changes and changes, but eventually something goes wrong, I want to go back to another revision and make that current? And also, are there facilities that allow for moderation of certain pages that have only certain people that, like under Social Text right now, what we've been used to having is that certain pages can be edited by certain logins. Anybody can leave a comment, but not necessarily everybody can actually edit the wiki. Could you give an idea of how that's going to be changed going forward?
Within Confluence, you're able to change the permissions on the pages, which is something similar to, as Amalisa was asking me. Annalisa. My eyes.
Who is the you in that context? Is it Heidi and Gisela? Is it me?
The creator of the page.
Can assign permissions on a per page basis.
Mm-hmm. Or anybody, it's any page, you all have the ability to change the access to that page.
Okay.
And the other question which you were asking me was version control. And you can do version control. Yes, you can do that. If I just, because we've got 4 minutes, so I can just show you those two things now. Yes.
Excuse me, I have one more question. For the access, are you going to tell us about the deleting a page too?
Yes, you can. I'll show you how to do that. Well, I'll just show you the two. These are two very important features, so I'll just go over them if I can do in the time available. So I'm looking at a page, and then from the Tools drop-down menu, you can see the page history, and you can see the restrictions. So if we look at the page history, this is the version controlling aspect of content within a page. So you just have to bear with me while that loads. It's running a little slow because it's going through the Adobe Connect. So, and I'm zoomed in so that you can see this. So you get the page information section when you go to the Tools menu. And then go to Page History. So here you can see I only have one version because I've just created it and I haven't made any changes. So you'll get like several different versions. And then once you have more than one version, you can select which versions you want to compare. And it will show you the changes. So if I could just go back to the page and make a change so you can see the two changes. So to see the content of the page after you've been looking at something like the page history or the page attachments, you select that eye icon. So I'm just going to add some content to this page by selecting edit. And now I make some changes. So I'll add this and I'll remove this. And then I'm happy with that, so I select save. And now I go to the page history, which, is, if you remember from just before, is in the Tools drop-down menu, and then go to page history. And now you can see there are two versions. You can then select the versions you want to compare. We've only got two versions, so we have to compare those two versions.
Go ahead.
One problem we just discovered is you need to give a home button that you can go back to the dashboard because
how do you get back there?
Because the home button is usually the most common thing that every ordinary user knows.
Mm-hmm.
So if that is there where it says at large community, there should be something like a home.
Right.
Written over there. So you go back to the front of the dashboard.
See the little arrow there?
Yeah.
If
but that's
you select
point.
That, that will take you to the at-large dashboard.
No, I don't see the arrow. Sorry. I'll go back.
So this is a point, these sorts of points you need to direct to the wiki team, which is Carol and Naveed, and they'll be able to change that for you.
This is just a bit advanced question, but in one of our deployments, we had all our mailing lists mails coming into Confluence, and we could see all of them from we have many mailing lists, regional mailing lists, and so forth. Are you going to deploy the plugin over here for that as well?
I won't have a chance to show you that. That's quite advanced. But the way that you do it is from, I believe it's from the tool, I think it's tools menu.
Because there's the mail link is here.
It's in browse, yeah. So browse, and it's either space admin or advanced, I've forgotten.
Yeah.
That's kind of the home, that arrow.
But that's where you set it up, is in space admin. If you want to set up mail, it's in space admin. So that was the page history, and so if...
Sorry, I have one more if the answer is quick. If I've created a page and I want to track changes to it, if I want to be alerted that other people have made changes,
yes.
Is there an email, RSS notification, or anything like that?
There are several ways you can track notifications. You can track notifications via RSS feed, or you can also track notifications by watching the page. So if I go back to home, you can also select the view button. Okay, so.
Emma?
Yes?
Someone wanted to know if you wanted to send a message to someone when you're on the page, how would you do that?
I'll just deal with this question first, and then we can move on to that. So you want to track your changes, and you do that by selecting this icon here, which looks like a little envelope. You can watch the page, or you can set it as a favorite. You can also watch spaces. So whenever a change is made to a page, you get notification of it via email. So you can select from here, or you can also do that, the same thing, from the tools menu. The difference between a watch and a favorite is a favorite's just kind of like bookmarking the page in a sense. So you can see your favorites from the dashboard, just makes it easier to find that content if it's a page you want to focus on. Whereas if you want to see the changes to the page, anyone who adds a comment, anyone who makes changes, then you'll get that notification in your email box. Obviously, if you've got a big space with lots of people using it, you can, if you go to browse and then... advanced, you can choose to watch the entire space. So you can start watching the space, and you can also create RSS feeds from here too. So if you use RSS feeds, that is where you'd set that up from. You can also favorite spaces. Just keeps your attention focused on that space. So the other question was, I can't remember. Something to do with...
Yes, it was, if we create a page and we want to draw that attention to certain people, can we send a message?
You'd have to send them a link. There is a way, there are plugins that you can use that can... You can add somebody as a watcher to the page. So I could add you to watch my page, so when anyone makes a change to it. It's quite a good idea if you've got someone new to the team and you say, these are the pages you need to focus on, A, B, C, D.
Is that under tools? Can you just show
us? It's not installed, but you can do it. So that's okay. Something you'd have to ask Naveed for. Tell him it's part of it. We can say it's part of the Bubbles plugin.
I'm writing it down.
Thanks.
Very quick. Obviously, this will be searchable by Google, I would imagine. So, I mean, if I put in a search that says at large training, for example, this might be one of the pages that would come up via Google?
It won't come up. The only things that are available to Google are those which are available via anonymous access. And as far as I'm aware, that's nothing. Google won't pick anything up.
It can be very useful for naming pages, Google being very responsive to URLs,
yes.
But that's not relevant in this case.
Yeah, security, I think, would be the deal. So it's... Just past, it's 35 minutes past 12. Is that Heidi? Heidi, do we break for lunch now?
I think just a few more minutes. I think just keep on going.
Keep on going until they leave. But just one quick issue. Nick Ashenhart is now leaving, so just another fond farewell. So thank you. Thank you.
You have to stay.
I'd have more support than the English football team. It's a pleasure. Well, not at football. Have a good meeting, everybody. I'm going home. I have my own meetings.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd just like to emphasise my German and Irish heritage. In fact, Ireland aren't even there. But anyway, at least you can't see how bad they are. So, is there any questions in the last few minutes? Questions? Anybody? I still need to show you how to insert links and images. So we can...
Go ahead.
We could do that now, yeah?
Can you move forward, please?
Right. So... You'll want to know how to add attachments, how to insert images, and how to add links to other documents, other pages, and other sort of external websites. And the way that you do that is quite easy. You go to Edit, and you wait some time for the page to load. It's not usually this slow, it's just because it's going through Adobe Connect. So if I want to insert an image, it's right over here in the rich text editor. So you can go to Insert, and from here you can insert an image, a link, or an attachment. So this is where the image is also, and this is also another link to inserting a link. So there are always a number of different ways of doing the same thing. So if you want to, you can access them from the insert menu. If you wanted to insert an image from here, select it, select the insert image icon, and then a pop-up window appears. Slight problem with this, as I've just remembered, is when you have your resolution as high as I have mine, I can't see the pop-up window. So once you select that image icon, you'll get a pop-up window which will invite you to browse for a bit of content from your hard drive. So you choose an image from your hard drive and then select Insert. It's quite simple. It's the same as you would use if you're using Google or if you're using Social Text. It's just a matter of browsing for the image and then adding it to the page. Equally, if I edit the page... So this is how you are adding content here. That's how you add an image. You can see here that someone else is also editing my page. This is another feature of Confluence. It will tell you if somebody's editing the page at the same time as me. So I can choose to walk away from the page while they're still editing it. So it's Abdelaziz is editing the page. If you could press save, please. Can you press save?
Did you do it?
Did you do it? Okay.
Oh, he can't.
Okay, thank you.
The picture said it was large.
Okay.
Please.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know if Ruyaman knew, but during the conference call, I asked about the language issue, and I found that at least you have French, German, and English usable as in the software. I am not talking about content. Content, we can put everything, and that's important to tell our friends from Francophonie that they can use French, German, that they can use German, and I hope that one day Spanish and other will be able to do the same.
There's also a new plugin that's been recently developed by an external set. They're called KIT, I believe. They're based in France, and they've got an internationalization plugin which will translate all of the content, not just the main UI items. So not just sort of rich text markup preview, this page is being edited, but also by the contents within the page. So that might be useful for you going forward.
Emma, that's great. I'll make a note of it. We need to break at this time. So unless there's anything urgent, I think we should break.
There is nothing else urgent now. Thank you very much for this morning, and we will reconvene with you later on this afternoon. From now on, please go to grab your food in two doors next doors, and you come back here with your food. The AATP people will be here in 3 minutes, and you have to run to take your food and to come back. Please do so as soon as possible and come back as soon as possible. First in, first serve.
And I would add, we're going to do our best to start on time. So if you're not here, you're not here.
And if you can leave some space, if we can spread around the room to allow people to have room to not just at the back of the room, it will be great. Thank you.
Christopher Wilkinson has not received his name password.